As you probably can hear, I'm outside. It's early in the morning. I'm taking a walk with the dog, and all the birds are quite active around me, I have to say. I guess they are enjoying the absence of human beings. So usually when I've been doing these podcasts, I've been recording them from my bathroom. But this morning I thought I would start outdoor in the graveyard. So every morning I take a walk on the graveyard with my dog. And this graveyard also functions as a park. And it's a listed graveyard, so you find all kind of, what do you call it, gravestones here. Some being very, you know, like statues. And some are plain gray stones where the writings on the stones are about to disappear. Okay, so this is, I thought the theme would be death, so that's why I'm recording from the graveyard, but I think I will go back to the bathroom, so yes.
On Christmas, well, I'm talking about Christmas in springtime, maybe a bit out of the place, but that's how it is. On Christmas before, it was a duty to invite people home. And then there was this man who himself thought that he was too poor. He could not invite anyone, and no one invited him. In his home, there was nothing to bite or burn. The Christmas joy had traveled far, far away from that home. The poor man, he went to Christmas Mass, and when it was over and people had left, he was alone. Next to a recently opened grave, there was a skull. The poor man walked by the grave and touched the skull with his foot. He picked up the skull, studied it, and said, "No one invites me, and no one invites you. Well, you can be my guest tonight." Then he put the skull down and left. I go to the graveyard every morning. It is a nice ritual, where the tombstones stand with their quiet whispers and remind me that there was a life before too. Every day I go there. I visit Daniel, my son's grave, and I walk the dog. You see, the graveyard here, where I live, is like a big park. Here children learn how to ride a bike. People like me walk the dogs. And in the summertime, people lie there and sunbathe. One would think that walking on the graveyard the same route every day becomes a boredom. But it is actually, it doesn't. I rehearse there, rehearse on the stories I'm going to tell, and I see the changes. But not only that, I see a culture growing and changing. You can see, for example, the angels who have gone from being nymph-like figures to now plump children similar to the young god Eros. Or on how to name the dead on the graves, how it goes from being, from the professional titles to only name or only Mrs. The whole spectrum is intriguing because they represent hardened memories that slowly wash away over time. I always have a camera when I go there, so I document small incidents related to the tombstones. Some tombstones crumble, some have lost their names, some have given a new has been given a new ornament, and some becomes a casual witness to a person who was there and forgot their cigarette pack. What I like about the graveyard, and what you see if you look more closely, is the mix of nature and culture, of the private and the public. I have experienced the meaningless with death. The meaningless can be understood through a sense of what meaning of death is. This is not a finished size that can be weighted and measured, but meaning is often linked to qualities like relationships, future orientation, hope and harmony. Explaining the presence of death is also conceptually difficult to articulate. To say that someone died is a reality that often sounds too brutal. So it's wrapped up in terms like passed away or fell asleep quietly. Even within the hospital world, death is avoided as a word or term. Søren Kierkegaard describes human being as a synthesis of two different parts. These parts may be life, death, loneliness and community, meaning and meaningless, for example. One chooses oneself by relating oneself to oneself and one's composure. It can be to the body and soul, to time and eternity, or life and death. From this perspective, death becomes a part of the basic conditions of life. Atganger is a nice Norwegian word, but it is no longer used in the Norwegian language. Ibsen, you know, the author, you will find a title by him called Gjenganger, which is a more modern version of that word, but which neither is not much used anymore. The most common Norwegian word is spøkelse, or sometimes we use the word gjenferd. It means ghost, all these words. It is the dead person who comes back, atganger, which directly means back walker. The most common reason, folk legend says, for why these people came back was that the dead had something undisputed, a promise that was broken or a betrayal, or they had simply forgotten to do anything. I mean, there was something they had forgotten to do before they died. It could also be that they returned because they wanted revenge. Or the most likely thing is that they did not return, because then I would have met Daniel again. The poor man went home and thought no more of it. In the evening, there was a knock on the door and a stranger came in. He wished Merry Christmas, but would not sit down. When the poor man asked who the stranger was, he replied, "Oh, it may be the same with my name. I am the one you invited when you stood in the graveyard. I have now fulfilled your wish. Now it's your turn to be my guest." "Okay." The poor man followed the dead one. But as he walked out of the house, he took the axe and put it under a stone in front of the house. They walked. And after a while, they came to the home of eternal darkness. Here, gates and doors opened for the two of them. Everywhere, there were sooty stoves, and in each oven, there were one or two logs that burned. The man from the graveyard touched two logs that were burning in an oven, and he said to his companion, "If you see two birds fly out, catch them." The poor man did this. He took the birds as they flew out, and then The two of them stepped out on the stairs of the dark home. The dead man asked the poor man to release the two birds. The poor man did, and the two birds flew away as they sang in the air. "Do you know who that is?" asked the dead one. "No." The poor man did not know. "It is your mother and your father's souls that you now have saved," said the dead man. "It's my Christmas present to you." They went on and came to a large, beautiful castle that was shining and sparkling like the most beautiful gold. Beautiful music could be heard from the castle, but the gates did not open. "No," said the dead one. "These gates are only open to the one who no longer belongs to time." "No. You will always want to go here. Let me follow you home." The dead man followed the poor man along the road, and after a while he said goodbye. When the poor man returned back home, he did not recognize his own home. Everything had changed. The houses were different, and unknown people was walking around. And where the poor man's home was, there was still a stone. So he put his hand under the stone and pulled out the axe he once had placed there. But only the hammer was left on the axe. And as he touched that one, the poor man collapsed and became dust himself.